Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, and welcome back to today's Daf, Bava Metzia Ayin Hei, the last Daf of Perek Ezehu Neshech. We begin at the Mishnah, which is five lines off the top of the Amud. Le'yoymar Adam L'chaveir, one shouldn't tell his friend, Halveini Kur Chitin, please lend me a certain amount, a kur of wheat today, and I'll pay you back the same amount. When the wheat is going to be processed, at the gurin, when things are going to be harvested and processed, I'll pay you back then. You shouldn't do that. Why? There's always a chance that by that time, the price of wheat will rise. So the same amount could be worth more. It's like paying ribbis. This, of course, is only ribbis derabbanan, because it's not an outright, agreement. There's no way of knowing it's going to be more expensive. In fact, Tosfos says it's not common for the wheat to go up at that point. But you're meant to keep away from this type of deal. Another example, but the following case is mutar. Avalo himer loy. But you can tell him like this. Halveini, please lend me the wheat, just for a short time. I have wheat in my storeroom. I'm waiting for my son, to come bring it. Until I can locate the key to my storeroom, since he really has it in stock, it's considered as though he already sort of gave his wheat. He committed his wheat to this fellow, and in that case, it doesn't look like he's really borrowing for long term, and it's like he just made a quick swap and there's no issue there. V'hilal oiser. Hillel says, even if you have it in stock, even if you have chitim to give him, it doesn't really help us. The fact is, you borrowed a certain amount and you're going to pay it back later when it might be more expensive. V'chein hoya Hillel oimer. Likewise, Hillel added another chumra. Lo'ital v'isha kikur chaverta. A woman should not lend her neighbor a loaf of bread today, expecting it to be repaid, the next day. Same reason. It might go up in value by then. And she'll be getting more than she gave. Ad shetasenu damim. Unless they establish, the precise value of this loaf of bread today, and that's all she'll give her back tomorrow. Why? Shema yikru chitim. Because the price of wheat might go up. Yikru chitim. In which case, it's going to result in a ribbis payment. So, we have this fellow borrowing wheat. The Mishnah says, well, if he happens to have some wheat of his own, so then it's merely viewed as like an exchange. And in that case, there's no issue in doing this. This is what it's called. It's called sa'bis'ah. It's a measure for a measure. There's no issue because I have wheat in stock, which I'm sort of... It's like I gave it to you in exchange. It's like I was makne to you in exchange for the wheat that you lent me. So that diminishes any impression of ribbis, and it's okay. Says Rav Huna, yesh lo sa'ah. If when I borrow this sa'ah from you, I have my own sa'ah, lo sa'ah. So it allows me. It gives me credit to borrow that certain amount, that specific amount. So Sayim, if I have two sa'a of my own wheat, Levis Sayim, then he can borrow two sa'a corresponding to the exact amount that he has. That's Rav Huna's shita. It has to match. The amounts have to match. Rav Yitzchak Omer, no. Afilu, it doesn't have to match. Because the fact is, I'm not actually giving you my wheat. Right? The Chachamim made a leniency to consider it as though I'm giving you that wheat and deem it like more like an exchange instead of just an outright loan. So it's like, if that's the case, even if I have a drop, that allows him to borrow a drop. Okay, once that's done, that's done, I could borrow another drop based on the wheat that I have. And then continue doing on and on and on. There's a heter for every step of the way. So it's unlimited. I can borrow as much as I want, irrespective of how much I have in stock. Rabbi Yitzchak, Omer, afilu yesh lo sa, even if he only has one sa of his own stock, loiva aleha kama kurin, that allows him to borrow a huge amount, many kur. Because every step of the way is sort of addressed by the fact that I have something. Okay, I borrow a little bit, I have something to correspond to that. I borrow a little more, right? On and on and on. And that changes the whole transaction. We look at it like just a switch. So once I've addressed it at the first stage, the first step, I can keep on going. Next step. Every step has been addressed and accounted for. Tani Rav Chiya l'siyula Rav Yitzchak. Rav Chiya will support Rav Yitzchak from a braisa, where it says that, you know, you should be careful not to borrow wine, right? If tipas yain einli, because he doesn't even have a drop of wine of his own. Oh, apparently, a drop is enough to justify the whole transaction. Tipas yain einli, tipas shemen einli, he doesn't even have a drop of oil to allow him to borrow oil. So what's the diuk? What's the inference? But if he has even a drop, loiva aleha kama tipin, that allows him to borrow many drops, as we explained. Hillel says, look, even if you have your own stock, it doesn't justify this whole idea of sa'ba sa'. He doesn't hold of this whole idea that what I have is considered like being given back to the lender in exchange for the item that he got. We don't look at it that way. He's very strict, Hillel. He cannot do this sa'ba sa'a deal in any case. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, halacha k'divrei Hillel. That's how we paskin. But the Gemara concludes, actually, with less. Hilchas say the Gemara paskins, otherwise we don't follow the stringency. Basically, if you have your own stock, that justifies this type of deal. He'll add another point. Even a loaf of bread, which is such a minuscule, you know, amount of you know, merchandise, of material. So we're speaking about a slight discrepancy and fluctuation. Still, we're so machmer on the idea of sa b'sa. That was Hillel's sheet. Amar Vida Mashmol, Zudiver Hillel. That's Hillel's opinion. Aval Chacham Oimrim, Loivim Stam, Apoirim Stam. Chacham say, and we're speaking about such small amounts. Chacham were not so strict about this. You can borrow and repay without stipulations and evaluations and establishing value. Vamar Vida Mashmol. Interesting. Bnei Chabura Makpidin Zalzay. You have a club, bunch of people that aren't too easygoing with each other. They're very makpid, very difficult, very strict and rigid people. Not too generous and don't share their food. So if they get together and join on Shabbos or Yom Tov, they can run into a lot of different issues. Yisurei derabbanan, oivrei mishum mida, if they'll start measuring their food when they, you know, divide it, mishum mishkol, and weighing. You're not supposed to be doing these things on Shabbos, right? Some of these things is because it looks like you're getting involved in Mekach HaMemkar and business transactions. Others are connected to a concern of leading to recording these things, writing these things. So a person keeps away from all these types of activities. But these fellows are so strict and stingy, they're going to run into all these issues. They're going to be measuring and weighing and counting and borrowing and, right? Mishum mido, mishum mishkol, mishum minyan, counting and switching, mishum leivin apur, and borrowing and repaying. V'yamtiv. Ukedibre hilo. Oh, here's the add-on. According to Hillel's opinion of now Mishnah, Ak Mishum Ribbis, they can be running into Ribbis as well because they're going to be sort of borrowing from each other and all kinds of issues of Ribbis as well. Interesting that the Mefarshim HaMedayik, that it seems from here that Hillel was only speaking when people are makbid with each other. And some explain because typically people are makbid with each other. And, you know, unless you know specifically that, you know, that they're not. Whereas the Chachamim don't consider this a concern, presumably because it's a small amount, and you know there's no chumrah in that case. Ve'amar Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, another halacha, Talmid Chachamim, learned people, mutarim luvois zemezeb ribbis. They can borrow with interest, as long as it's a small amount. My time of why? Why do they have this exception? May the Yadi, they're fully aware of the halachas of ribbis, the ribbis asura. Umatana, they're just gifting each other. Matano diyava adadi. He's trying to give him a bonus, a gift. He knows full and well it's ribbis, so there's no issue there. Amrale Shmuel Avu Abari, so Shmuel told Avu Abari, Halveni, Meya Pilpul, in line with this halacha, the Timid Chacham is allowed to do this, he says, lend me Meya Pilpul, 100 of these peppercorns. But maybe Eshem Pilpulin, I'll give you back 120. Baruch, and it's okay because I'm just giving you a gift. This is a convenient way of giving you a gift. Amar Vidamash Amarav, Mutal Laila Adam, Lahalvais Banov Ubnebesa Baribis. Listen to this Chiddush. A person is allowed to lend his family, his kids, money with interest. Kedelat Imon Tam Ribis, to give them a taste of the bitterness, a bitter taste of the, you know, of the ribis experience, so they appreciate the hardship involved and they will never resort to lending people with ribis. They know how difficult it is to owe people interest. V'lav milsi, the Gemara disagrees, you shouldn't be doing this, mishum d'asir l'mistrach, because once, you know, they get the appetite for earning interest, once they see what's going on, how much money you can make, it might draw them into it, and it might be very difficult to shake it off when they grow up. Says the Mishnah, Reuben can tell Shimon. They both have a garden or a farm. If he says, look, I need a hand today, and I'll give you a hand tomorrow. Nakesh imi, please come help me weed out my a garden. Va'nakesh imcha, I'll do the same for you tomorrow. Ador imi, please help me, you know, plow. Ve'ador imcha, and I'll, you know, loosen up the earth with you tomorrow. That's okay. It's a fair deal. V'lo yomile, but he shouldn't swap the roles. Nakesh imi, you come do weeding. Ve'ador imcha, and I'll go plow. Ador imi, va'nakesh imcha, or the reverse. You plow by me, I'll weed by you, because one might be more difficult than the other, in which case he's repaying him more than he got. That's ribis. Kol yimrei gored echad, but let's say it's the same type of activity. We're not concerned about, you know, days of the week. All the dry season days are considered pretty much one level of difficulty. We're not concerned that perhaps one day is longer than the other. You know, it's close enough, it's okay. Kol yimrei revia achas. Likewise, the winter days, you know, the rainy days, that's considered one level of difficulty. But you shouldn't swap those seasons. You can't tell him, look, you help me plow when it's dry, which is actually easier than when it's muddy. And I'll help you when it's, I'll do the same for you when it's muddy, because that's giving him more than he got. Here comes a chiddush. There's a concept of prepaid ribis. Ribis that a potential borrower will forward to his lender before the loan was issued. Likewise, a delayed ribis after repaying the loan. That's also Asr Keta, for instance. So Shimon has his eye on Reuben. He plans on borrowing from him. So he starts, you know, buttering him up. And he sends him a gift beforehand. And he says, look, I got plans. I want to do this because I'm going to be borrowing from you. Zohi ribis mukdemes, that constitutes early ribis, and it's Asr. Likewise, delayed ribis. He already borrowed from him. When he repaid his loan, now he sends him a nice gift. And he explained, this is because that money, your money was sitting by me, unused. You're losing, you know, potential profit. Here's a gift. Zohi ribis mocheres. That's also usher as ribis mocheres. Now it sounds from the Mishnah, it's only usher if you inform him, if you sort of, you know, send a card with it. So actually, the Ramah says that it's usher even without explaining. If it's just stam, it's mutter. If it's a small matana, but if it's a big matana, then it's like mefarish. Why is he sending him a huge matana? It's pretty clear. His motive is pretty clear. So there, just sending it in itself is usher. Rabbi Shimon Omer, here comes another layer. Yesh ribis dvarim. At times, even words constitute ribis. For instance, he gives him advice. He informs him about some interesting news. This is the borrower to the lender, as a return favor for the money lent to him. Lo yemar, you shouldn't be telling the malve, da ki boish pleni makam pleni. Look, you know, this big person just arrived from that place. He keeps him up to date because he was nice to him and lent him money. That's also asr. Ve'elu oivrim b'lo yisase. The following individuals, who are all parties to the ribis, to the interest arrangement, all carry full responsibility, and they violate many, many possible yisurim. Hamalve, the lender, va'loive, the borrower, va'arev, the guarantor who was involved in arranging the deal, the Eidim and the witnesses who signed the loan document. Even the scribe, Oivrim, all these individuals will violate, well, Rashi explains, in one way or the other, meaning in some cases, all these Yisurim apply to some individuals, only part of the Yisurim. We'll see in the Gemara which ones apply to which. But in a collective sense, they have violated the following lavin. You shouldn't be giving your money with interest. Don't accept interest payments. Don't go and grab his interest. Don't arrange a ribbis arrangement. In front of a blind person, don't put a stumbling block. Don't cause somebody else to do an isser. We'll see in a minute how that applies. And the pasuk concludes, have fear from Hashem ani Hashem. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Rechayim, Menai L'Neshav Chaveri Mone. What about a person who is owed money? Ve'enoi Rogel Agle Shalem. And the Leve, you know, is not accustomed to greeting this lender. Typically, he wouldn't greet him, he wouldn't give him Shalem. She'osher L'Agdim Le'Shalem. He must be careful not to change his modus operandi. He should not be greeting him. How do we know this is true? That constitutes ribbis. He's changing his mode of behavior. He's being more friendly to him because of that money. Tamalayma neshach kol davar shayishach. Kol davar means afilu dibur asu. Even a verbal form of ribbis is asu. Ve'elu oivrim. Okay, now let's go down the list and figure out which individual violated which violation. Amar Abaye, Malve, the lender, he has it all checked off. Oivr bekulam. He did all these, sir, Rashi explains, four lines from the top. Malv Oivr Kul, let's see Rashi. Becholhani, the Chashiv Masnissen. He covered all the Yisurim of the Mishnah. Why? The Noisin Beneshech B'Shas Halva. Firstly, he lent his money with ribbis. That covers Lo Yisitein, right? V'hu Lo Keach B'Shas Piroin. And he accepts ribbis payment at the end of the day. That's Al Tikach Meita. V'hu Lo Kenoishe K'shtoiv V'deichkei. And he's coming down hard on him when he forces him, when he pressures him for that ribbis. That's L'Yisiyah L'Kenesha. Who Samal of Neshach B'Shas Pizakat Tanai. And he applied, he assessed ribbis onto him when they made this structure, this financial structure, this arrangement. That's the pasuk of L'Yisiyah Simon. And finally, V'Noisen Mikshel L'Fnei Aleve La'Aviroi Alei Sashach L'Ochicha. Alei Sashach goes on the Leve. Right, that's one pasuk on the Leiva. Don't pay interest, and the Malva is pretty much putting him in a position to violate that Isser. That's Lifnei Iver. Okay, so the Malva has it all covered. Leiva, the Leiva is Iver Mishum Leis Sashich Lachicha. Don't pay Ribis. Lachich Leis Sashich. Lifnei Iver Leisitim Michshel, because he's causing the Malva to violate the Isser of Ribis. What about the Arev and the Eidim? Ain Oivin El Mishum Leis Simon of Neshech. The guarantor and the witnesses only have the Issa of Leis Simon because they were involved in establishing this arrangement. Tesis says, what about Lifnei Iver? He says, well, the money would have been borrowed without them without their involvement. So there's no Lifnei Iver Leisitim Mishum. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Oivin. Malvi Ribbis. You know, people who lend money with Ribbis, they think they're gaining. They're losing more than they're gaining. Yoyser Mimashe Marvicha. More than they think they're gaining, Mafsidin, they're really losing. As we learned the other day, when a person gets involved in ribbis, nechasav mismoititin, he ends up losing more money. His assets, his business ventures collapse. V'loyoy, not only that, el shemasimim Moshe Rabbeinu chacham v'terase emes. This is a euphemism. They degrade the Torah. They consider Moshe Rabbeinu a wise man and his Torah to be emes. It's really just the opposite. They look down and what's he telling us? Not to conduct business as usual. And they claim like this, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have only realized how much money there is to be made by lending money, he would never have prohibited ribbis in the Torah. So there's a total disregard for everything important. He says like this, this is a slightly related idea to ribbis, but not exactly ribbis related, but how do we know the following point, that if a person has a monetary claim on his friend, his friend owes him money. And the lender knows that this fellow poor guy, he doesn't have money today. It's forbidden to just pass by him. That constitutes undue pressure. The pasuk says, don't pressure him. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Amar Tavai, they both expanded on this further. Ki'ilu, when a person comes down hard on his leve, ki'ilu doni b'shnei din, it's as though he put him through two judgments, fire and water, because his face first drains, right? Because of his embarrassment and shame, turns white. That's like water. So the Marsha says that right? First he gets red. That's it. First he gets red. He blushes. That's like fire. And then the blood drains from his face. He pales. That's white. That's like water. So he goes through all the different phases of persecution. Shenemar ha-hirukavta enesh l'rashenu, when there's a rod, a person that's pressuring us for money. Bono b'yishu ha-mayim, it's as though we went through fire and water. Amar v'dom ha-rav, kol mi shi'yesh lo'i, mo'is u'mal v'o'is enesh lo'i b'edim. Here's another point. If a person has money to lend, but he's not careful, he lends it without witnesses, without any way to prove the loan, he's running into issues because he's sort of tempting the borrower to deny it. So it's not just a favor for yourself, it's a favor for the other fellow. Prevent him from coming to an assign, from being tempted. So you meant to have Edim or Ashtar. Furthermore, a person who lends money freely without accounting, he brings about a curse onto himself. When he goes and he approaches his borrower and claims his money back, and people say, "Oh, what? He doesn't owe you money. Look, he's a trustworthy fellow. Why are you coming down? What are you pretending that he owes you money?" So people start cursing you for unjustly loving claims against righteous people, in their mind, righteous people. The lips of a Rabbi Russia, right, should be silenced. Ones who levy these preposterous, claims against tzaddikim. So basically, to protect yourself and everybody else, write a shtar. Document your loans. Amar le Rabbanan, they told Rav Ashi, Kamakayim Ravina, Ravina fulfills everything that he's supposed to do. Kol Mada Amar Rabban, even everything that the Rabbanan say, he keeps. Shalach Leis, Rav Ashi wanted to test him. He sent him a message, Bahadi Panya, right before, Shabbos, Friday afternoon, Bahadi Panya Damal Lishata, Shabsa, Friday, before evening, Lishata Limar Asura Zuzi, please, could you lend me 10 coins? I got a quick steal of a deal, business deal. The astronomy, Ktina Dara. I just located a little piece of land, Lemizban, to buy. Please, lend me the money quickly. Shalach Lei, so Rav Kahana, Ravina, the lender, said, hold it. Naisi Mar Sahadi, bring me Edim. V'nichtav Ksavim, write a document. Write a shtar, I don't lend without a shtar. Shalach Lei, so you respond, I feel, I know, even to me. You need a document, don't trust me. I feel like, no, not me. Shalach Leis, he responded, just the opposite. Koshkin Mar, certainly you have to have your loans documented. The Torah of the Girsa, you're busy with your learning. Mishtali. It's very easy for you to forget these, worldly matters. And I don't want to bring about a klolo when I come and claim the money, and then it's going to turn around and haunt me, but Goyim klolo haunts me. So he didn't fall for it, and he insisted on Ishtar. Turn up on a shloishot so'akin ve'inanenim. The three individuals, that when they come to Bezin to complain, we just ignore them. Look, you brought it upon yourself. Who asked you to do this? Ve'eluin, who are these three people? Mishiesh le'mois, right? This fellow who has money, umal vois, and he lends them freely without accountability. Shalai be'edim, without edim. You should have been careful. So what are you yelling now? What are you complaining now that people are not paying? This is the next fellow who submitted himself to a master. We'll see what that means. And finally, a fellow who doesn't behave properly and his wife rules over him, which is not a good sign, because it's the opposite of the way the Torah says. He's supposed to be running the show. If she runs the show, it doesn't reflect well on him. Okay, what is this fellow? Some say, what happened was, he pretended that his money belongs to a guy, and that sort of allowed him to lend it with ribbis. He lent money with interest, pretending that his money belongs to a guy, and the guy got wind of the fact that the yid is using his name to cover himself. So he recorded him one day, you know, as he was laying his claim that this, you know, money belongs to the guy. He recorded him, or he had Adam there, and then he goes ahead and he goes to court and says, "Look, even the yid admitted that his money is really mine." There you go, he loses his money. So this person did it to himself. There's another version. Person who digs his own hole is a person who, for instance, gives away all his assets to his kids while he's still alive, thinking that they'll take it only after his passing. And sure enough, he turns around and it's all gone. They took it away. Another variation of a fellow who's guilty of his own hardships. The Bishle Bahamasa. He has a hard time, you know, in this town. It's not going well, and he refuses to move. Look, a person has to be versatile. Doesn't work out, you go to another place. And he refuses to budge. He doesn't want to go to a different town where he might have better hatzlacha. So, you know what? It's your decision, it's your choice. Live with it. Bottom line, we had a Mishnah with Sa B'Sa. When is it mutter? When is it not? Hillel is very machmer. We had a hetef of Talmid Chachamim with a davar muot of ribbis. Regarding B'nai Beisa, the Gemara concludes you shouldn't be doing it because it might lead to a lifetime career in ribbis lending. There's a concept of ribbis mukdemes, ribbis mucheres, ribbis devarim. We lined up all the yisurim that theoretically can apply to a ribbis involvement and the importance of lending money, but with documentation. Hadran aloch, eizu neshach. All the best to you, and hatzlacha rabba.